All right, would you open your Bibles with me this evening, the book of Galatians and chapter number 5. We continue on in our little series of the fruit of the Spirit. I have felt like each week the fruit that we dealt with that week was the one I needed to hear more than anybody else. And it almost just seemed as if God in His great providential care puts us in places so that what we are studying or what we are teaching on just means so much to us right at that moment. But that's not true tonight. Now, that's because when we get into this, you'll understand I've already arrived when it comes to this. I got this one down pat, more or less, right? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, God's Word reads, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Tonight, the fruit of the Spirit, and in particular, we deal with the fourth that is mentioned here, and that is long-suffering. Long-suffering. In fact, a very simple definition of long-suffering is to suffer long, to endure long. And it's as vital if you want to understand and get in some of the riches of what this particular fruit is. To be long-suffering is not so much about waiting, but how we act while we are waiting. Perhaps the best I could do would give you an illustration. Several years ago, we took the kids down to, and this is another one of those, I'm using my kids as an illustration. We took the kids down to Universal Studios. And this is, you know, it's sort of like Disney World. This is a big deal. But it was busy. And we got in line, and you had to stand in line every attraction. We stood in line for over an hour to get onto some of the rides. And everybody has to wait. Right? I mean, you get in line, everybody's got to wait. To be long-suffering is not having to wait. To be long-suffering is you're not grumbling, griping, and complaining the whole time you're having to wait. Which my children got a little frustrated at having to wait so long. And, it, you know, it's you're tired, it's hot, you're busy. You know, and so, and you're anxious, you want to do this, so you can go do something else, and it's understandable. But the idea of long suffering is not merely that we are patient, but that we show patience while we are waiting. We must endure. We must hang on with a good attitude. And folks, that's not an easy thing to do. I was joking earlier when I said I've arrived at this one. I'm far from have arrived when it comes to being a patient man, patient dad, patient husband, patient pastor. I'm far from being there. The idea is that we are long of temper. The word patience is a good translation of the word long-suffering, but it carries more than just having to wait. It is how do you act while you're having to wait. It is being long of temper, long of mind. The opposite of long-suffering is impatience or intolerance. So it's not so much about the ability to wait, but how we act while we are waiting. How do we behave? Do we exercise self-restraint while we are enduring, while we are waiting? Or are we bent out of shape, angry and mad while we are having to wait? Folks, the idea behind this is that we patiently endure because we realize that God is sovereign. He is in charge of all things. And whatever this situation or circumstance that we are in, God has in His providential care of us put us there. And so rather than griping and grumbling the whole way through it, we're patient. We're long-suffering. We endure it. Not just, I got to stand in line and so I'm just going to pout and moan the whole. But no, we realize that there's a purpose behind it. God is working something in my life. And so I want to try and endure it well. Now, would there be any of us here this evening that would dare raise our hands and say, I've got all that figured out. When I have to wait, I always handle it well. When I'm sitting in traffic, when things aren't going good at work, when the spouse or children aren't doing what they're supposed to, are you always long-suffering? Or do you blow your top sometimes? Too many of God's children have got a short fuse and a loud bang. When we ought to be long-fused, long-suffering. Our Father is this way. Our Heavenly Father is this way. Our Christ is this way. The Holy Spirit who dwells within us will produce that fruit within us. But it's just incredibly taxing on the flesh. The works of the flesh is anger and malice and bitterness and strife and controversy. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy and peace and long-suffering. So this is the definition of long-suffering. It is I like this definition. A calm willingness to endure. A calm willingness to endure. To put up with irritating or painful circumstances or people. Are there irritating people in this life we have to endure? Absolutely, there are. Are there frustrating circumstances and situations? Are there times when you just want to, just blow up? People are different. And if I may indulge, some people are just, they fly right off the handle. That I don't do that much. That's not who I am. I'm more like a pressure cooker. It just keeps growing and it keeps growing. But man, when the pressure gets full, the top goes. You know, that's, I'm not boasting or bragging. It's just the way that it is. Of course, my wife, she may not necessarily agree with all that anyway. But are you willing to endure being wronged patiently? That's, you know, that's hard. It is hard when you have been maligned, when people have made accusations against you, when they've hurt you, when they've wronged you, to just be patient, to endure, to have a calm willingness to put up with it. Not, you know, it's so easy. Is it not just easy to just to let it go, blow your top? Say the first thing that comes out of your mouth and just let them have it. Isn't that the easy thing to do? But won't you also agree with me that's easy to blow your testimony like that in a hurry when you do that? You know, sometimes it feels good to just, let it out and let them have it. But you just got to try to bear it. You got to endure and try to put up with it. And that's hard. We endure being wronged. We endure being hurt. We endure being slandered. We put up with these things because God the Holy Spirit produces this fruit of long suffering within us. We battle, and this is a real issue for American Christianity in particular. We live in a society right now, more than any other society at all, we live in a society that demands instant gratification. We get frustrated if it takes our web page 5 seconds to load instead of 3 seconds to load. Right? Mankind started out walking, and then horseback, and then trains and automobiles, and Now it's jet engines. It's faster, faster, faster. We want instant gratification. We want to be an overnight success. We want to have instant rewards. We want it now. And a lot of times, you know, this is sounding so redundant, but a lot of times we say, we want patience, but we want them now. But it doesn't work that way, does it? And so, folks, we have to understand God's definition of long-suffering. It is a patient enduring. It is bearing well. It is carrying the load without all the complaints and the murmuring. It is just is saying, God has put me on this path at this time. Doesn't mean we have to like it, certainly not love it, but we can try to endure it well for the glory of our God. God is not impatient. God does not operate on our schedule. You know, one of the problems is that we grow impatient, but God does not. We want what we want in our mind and in our whether it is we want vengeance or whether it is we want this to be rectified or righted, we want it in our time rather than depending on God working in His time. And we can grow impatient and vocal and become bitter even. And it takes, and I'm getting just a little bit ahead of myself, it takes Holy Spirit empowerment to manifest long-suffering in the face of wrongs and accusations and slander. And it takes Holy Spirit empowerment. I am told that the bamboo, the Chinese plant bamboo, plant it 1 year, they water and fertilize it, nothing grows. Second year, water and fertilize it, nothing grows. Third year, fourth year, water and fertilize it, and nothing grows. But in that fifth year, it will begin to grow. And do you know that within a six-week time period, I'm told, I read this, that bamboo can grow up to 90 feet tall in 6 weeks? Now, did it take 6 weeks for that to grow and mature, or did it take 5 years? The answer is it takes 5 years, but without the water and the fertilizing, year one, two, three, four, and five, it would never grow to that height. And so, dear friends, there's just a little lesson in nature. We have to be consistent. We have to just hang on. Be persistently patient and long-suffering. And that's not easy. It's not easy. And here's why. How is long-suffering developed? And you probably knew we were going to get here at some point. How does God produce the fruit of patience within us? The answer to that is through trials and tribulations. You see, the fruit of long suffering does not grow in the ground of ease and comfort. You hear me? The fruit of long suffering grows in the ground of discomfort and frustration. You want to see the fruit of long-suffering in full bloom? Look in the middle of accusation and slander. That's where that fruit is seen. When we are hurt, or when we are wrong, or when we are suffering pain, or when we fight against sickness and we bear it well, that's where the fruit of long-suffering grows. That's where it is blooms. That's where it blossoms. In fact, you might as well look with me at the book of James in chapter number 1. We studied the book of James, but it's been a long time ago now. But here the inspired text tells us exactly where God and how God grows the fruit of long-suffering. Remember, folks, we're not trying to muster this up in the flesh, and I don't want to run ahead of myself. But one of the reasons why God does what He does is so that we get to the end of ourselves and realize, I can't do this. I can't do this on my own. I can't be patient like I need to be and endure like I need to. apart from the enabling of the Spirit of God. James chapter 1, look at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And that's a tough translation, but it just means when you face adversity, when you face various trials. That's what the words diverse temptations means, various trials. When you face different types of adversity, how are we to respond? Verse 2, does it say grumble, gripe, and groan? Or does it say count it all joy when you fall into these various tribulations? Realize that God is doing something in your life. That God is real. That He's there. And when you face these trials and temptations, it is not to lead us to despair, but to lead us to dependence on who our God is. Count it all joy when you fall into these various trials and tribulations. Verse 3 says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, or produces patience. See, God wants to put you in a place where you realize how helpless you are, how dependent you are, how much you need Him. God delights to show Himself strong in the behalf of those who realize how weak they are. When it is out of your hands, and you know it is out of your hands, you must lean right up against the bosom of the Messiah and say, you're going to have to hold on to me because I can't make it without you. This is what tribulation will do for you. This is why God brings these things, or allows trials, these diverse temptations. This is why He brings them, because it produces a maturity in you. Listen, the fruit of long-suffering is a mature fruit. It is a fruit that grows in the hearts of mature Christians. Not ones that act like children standing in line at the amusement park. But in those who have a solemn confidence that while I'm not enjoying this, I know my Heavenly Father has a purpose behind it. And He is doing something in my heart. He's doing something in my life. Now, does anybody, here's the thing. One preacher called tribulation, he calls it the gift that nobody wants. And that's a pretty good way to describe it. It's the gift that nobody wants. Even though it is a gift from God and it produces mature fruit in us, yet we do have, a lot of our lives is spent to make things as easy and comfortable for us as we can make them. Yet we need to realize the text says here that the trying of your faith produces patience in you, makes you a more mature Christian. And I hadn't even thought about it like Troy Shepherd said this. He said this just a couple of weeks ago. I heard him preaching, and he said this. He said, he's heard Christians, I've said it, probably many of you have said this, be careful what you pray for. If you pray for patience, what's going to happen? God will give you tribulation, because tribulation works with patience. But Troy, he's coming at it from a different aspect. This is a man that just fought off cancer, been through chemo and radiation, and he endured it well. And so his perspective on life is just a little bit richer than many of ours is, okay? But he said, man, if it makes you more like Jesus, pray for it. don't, we run out here and say, don't pray for patience. God will send you tribulation. And this man said, if it'll make you more like Jesus, pray for it.
Amen.
Ask God to give it to you. But it's the gift that nobody wants, right? We don't want the tribulation. We want to skate through life. Oh, but trouble sees. Oh, no, let me get this right. Calm seas never make for a skilled sailor. That's a little so I read somewhere, and that's good. Calm seas never makes for a skilled sailor. It is the troubled seas that causes us to depend and grow and learn. And this is what James is saying. You see what he says if you're still there in verse number 4? But let patience have her perfect work. And that word perfect is maturing work, growing work. It is a completing work. It is making you more like Christ. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit, at the heart of the fruit of the Spirit, is a portrait of who Jesus was. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect. That doesn't mean sinless. It means mature or complete. And entire, wanting nothing. And really, the truth about it is that verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, there's a reason that comes right in behind. You know, when you say, I want to give God thanks, I want to count it all joy, you're going to need some wisdom to do that, right? You're going to need some Holy Spirit-given wisdom to be able to count it all joy. Folks, patience is produced. It is developed through the midst of adversity. And we just need to, we need to realize that to grow us and mature us, God often prunes us. Those of you that garden, or even if you work with a flower garden, you know you got to get in there and prune some stuff. You got to get back there and cut it back if you want it to grow. I'm told in particular that olive branches and olive vines, that they have to be kept pruned, they have to be cut back if you want them to be more productive. And that's just exactly what Jesus has said to us. Listen, I will prune you that you bear more fruit. I'll cut you back so that you bear more fruit. But it hurts. I mean, it hurts, but it produces that growing, maturing work in us of being able to say, I'm not thrilled that I'm in this situation, but I'm trusting God in it. And I'm going to try to be long-suffering. It's not about arms folded, disheveled, and grumbled. It is about a calm reliance that God has put me here, and I'm going to try to endure it well. Try to endure it well. But here's what I alluded to earlier. This is impossible in the flesh. It is impossible in the flesh. I'm not the only one in this building tonight that has blown his top, lost his cool, said some things and done some things you shouldn't have done. I guarantee you, I have done it, but I feel pretty sure in saying I'm not the only one that's done that. And if you try to do this in the flesh, if you say, you know what, I'm just going to be more patient, I'm going to be more patient. You can't do it in the flesh. Not what the Bible teaches about long-suffering. We must be filled with the Spirit. That's why again and again this text says, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. The only way that the Spirit will produce this fruit of long-suffering, and the only way in which it can be seen, is by us being yielded to the Spirit of God. You can't do this. You won't get home tonight before you are hopping mad if you try to do this in the flesh. It doesn't matter what the relationship is. Whether it is in the home, whether it is in the workplace, or whether it is in the church house. It takes patience to deal with one another. Maybe you never get frustrated with your significant other. Maybe it's all rainbows and sunshine for you. Maybe you never get aggravated with another church member. Maybe people in the marketplace or driving down the road, maybe they never aggravate you, but they sure do me. If everybody just had as much sense as I did, you know, everybody, isn't that how we think though, right? If everybody just had as much sense as I did, we all get along just fine. But thank goodness they all don't, though. What I'm trying to tell you is we cannot try to muster this up in the flesh. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to have a daily intake of the Word of God. You've got to have You got to stay in communion with God. You have to stay in fellowship with God. You can't do this on your own. It won't be long until something that's much bigger than you and meaner than you and uglier than you're willing to be will come along. And so it takes the leadership of the Spirit of God to give you the grace and patience to endure. I'm told that the Greek word here for long-suffering means to be long of soul. To be long of soul. In other words, you're just not quick-tempered. Your seed of emotions, and that is really what they're at, is what that definition is at, that your seed of emotions doesn't shift like the winds, but that you're patient and that you're long-enduring. But it is developed through tribulation, but it is displayed, the fruit of the Spirit is displayed by our actions. How we treat one another. The fruit of the Spirit of long-suffering is displayed. We've defined it. It is developed in trials, but it is displayed by how we treat one another. How we treat one another in our families. Isn't it sad that the people that are closest to us are the ones that we're usually the shortest with or the ugliest with? And that's sad, but it's true. People at church, whether they're at work, whatever that it is, the fruit of long-suffering is seen when we patiently endure with a wrong. Jesus said it like this, "It is impossible, but that offenses should come." They're going to come. It's going to happen. We're going to rub each other wrong. I'm going to say something I shouldn't. You may do something, or I may. It's going, whether it's at home or in the church house, the workplace, whether it is your day-to-day interaction, it's going to happen. You're going to rub somebody wrong. They're going to rub you wrong. How do we respond to that? We responded by acting like our Father acts, by being patient and long-suffering. This is another one of these truths where we as the children of God should bear the characteristics of our Heavenly Father. Where we should look like Him, act like Him. And God is a long-suffering God. You know, people get this idea that the God of the Old Testament was mean and hard and cruel and just sadistic even. And people that think that, I want to say, have you ever even read the Old Testament? Do you have any idea how patient God is and was? I mean, it's just amazing how patient that God is. I'm going to read to you a couple of verses, and you can turn if you want to, but Exodus chapter number 34, Moses describes who God is. And we display the fruit of the Spirit by conducting ourselves like our Heavenly Father. Exodus 34, verse 6 says, "And the Lord passed by before him." Of course, this is before Moses. "The Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty.'" The long-suffering of God doesn't mean that God will never deal with the sin of the unbeliever. He will. The long-suffering is just that God is patiently waiting. God's not standing up in heaven wringing His hands, His holy hands, saying, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" No, God will deal with the wicked, but He will deal with them in His time. God's not behind schedule. God's not bound up by time like we are in any way. God will, but He is long-suffering. In fact, we could get over into Peter and read about that. "He will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, the children's children, and to the third and the fourth generation." But let me give you a couple more verses, if I can. You know, you could go a long ways out of Psalms. I'm going to read to you now, Psalms 86. But you could go a long ways making your way through the Bible, seeing how often it mentions about the long suffering of God, or that God is slow to anger, slow to wrath, full of mercy, full of pity. Psalms 86, verse 15, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." If you're in Psalms, turn over to chapter 103 and see what it says. Psalms 103, verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." Over and over and over again, the Bible tells us that God is long-suffering. In fact, we might as well turn over and look at 1 Peter. Peter mentions this a couple different times in a couple different ways, but in 1 Peter, we'll begin there. 1 Peter chapter 3, it is, if you don't have to have much Old Testament knowledge at all to realize how patient God was with Israel and even with the other nations in the Old Testament. You know, we get this idea God was just a heavy hand who thundered down mercilessly on people in the Old Testament. He's the same God in the Old Testament as He is in the New Testament. He shows long-suffering. But look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, I don't want to preach all of this, but you know the story. Noah is building an ark, and it takes 120 years, if I remember right, to build this thing. And God, during this entire process, is patient. He's long-suffering. He looks down on men, and what does He see? That their imaginations of their heart was only wickedness continually. But God was patient. He waited. He waited. While Noah was building that big old box, God waited. But God did bring justice. God did bring justice. But He waited. And this is the idea. God patiently endured. In fact, right now, just jump right into 2 Peter, if you want to turn over there and see this in 2 Peter chapter 3. This chapter begins with an open criticism. People saying, "Where is this Jesus? Where is He? You've been saying for a long time He's coming. Well, where is He? We just keep on living life the way we always have. There's no sign of His coming." And Peter responds by saying in verse number 8, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and as a thousand years as one day." So what is verse 8 teaching us? God's not bound up by time. God is not held over by time. That to God, one day is just the same as a thousand years. When you're eternal, there's no difference. God is eternal. There's no difference to Him. He stands up above time, beyond time. It's so hard for our finite minds to grasp this. But to Him, there's just no difference. So God doesn't have to punch a clock. God doesn't have to set an alarm. God doesn't have to be anywhere at any given. He exists beyond time. And because of that, He deals with us in a gentle and compassionate way because we are bound by time. The Lord, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack." You could read verse number 9 and understand this, that God's not behind schedule. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Here Peter's just saying, the only reason why Christ hasn't come already is that God is not willing that any of His chosen ones would perish. That's why He has waited. That's why He has endured. That's why he waited 120 years when Noah was building that ark. If he'd have sent the flood before then, it would have swept away Noah and his family and destroyed them. But God was patient. God was patient. He put up with the sins of the wicked so that his people could be saved, right? Same thing he's saying here in this chapter. God's not bound up by time. One day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years one day. God's not behind schedule. God is not willing that any of us should perish. And so he just patiently endured. God puts up with people who mock him, people who deny him, people who ridicule him, people who use his name in vain, people that despise his children, people that murder his children. God is patient through all of that. He is enduring all of that. And now, you and I, we're supposed to be like him. Patient. Enduring. A calmness. We realize that God's not behind schedule. He's doing things just the way it pleases him. God is patient with the sinners. God is patient with the saved. And listen to this. Jesus Christ was so patient. Was he not long-suffering? Did he not endure the contradiction of sinners against himself? Did he not put up with mockery and ridicule and hatred and rejection? Did he not just commend? Did he not just turn that all over to God? He patiently endured. And here we are to be like Christ, be like our Father. We are to be a patient, long-suffering people. In fact, let me give you one more if I can. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Of course, I could give you many more. In fact, I might. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says that God wanted to show just how patient he was. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, that's the only thing I disagree with the Apostle Paul about. He says he's the chief of sinners, but no, he's wrong. Old Lewis Geiger's got him beat. You know what I mean? I think all of God's children ought to feel that way. Howbeit, verse 16 says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now put that in this context. Here's a man that was going around persecuting Christians, stood there and was complicit in the stoning of Stephen, who was cruel and doing everything he could to stop the name of Christ from being spread. But Paul says, Jesus was just showing how patient he is, how long-suffering he is, that he put up with all that until the day that he revealed himself to me. As a pattern for what or how patient or long-suffering God is. Folks, we must emulate our Master in this way. We must be a patient people. How are we going to do that? In the power of the flesh? No, we're not going to do this through the power of the flesh. We have to do it by the filling of the Spirit of God. I'm going to read, and this time I will read one more thing and I'll be done. The book of Ephesians in chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We must display, because of what Christ endured for us and His death, His resurrection, His life, all that He put up with, we must be willing to be long-suffering and patient. Listen, I know it's Wednesday night and you're ready to go home, and I am too, but I just can't help. My mind has just continued to think on the virgin birth. How do you think? Now listen, sons, if your mother is still alive, well, even if she's not still alive, I'm sure of this. How would you feel about somebody slandering your mama? You wouldn't feel too good about that, would you? How do you think Christ felt when they slandered his mother and accused her of fornication? There's just one tiny aspect in which they accused him of being an illegitimate child, thereby saying that your mother was guilty of harlotry or fornication. And he just endured it. He put up with it. He patiently waited. Well, I'm going to tell you something. That takes love, doesn't it, to do that? We must also endure. But anyway, Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul again writes, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called." Do what God called you to do. "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." And there's a good synonym for long suffering. It is to be forbearing. To suffer long, or to help bear with the issues of others. I'll just put it that way. "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Now, any of you here tonight say, I'm there? Man, that fruit of long-suffering, it's just blooming everywhere. People who know me know I'm a patient person. Is that? Or do we need God to produce that fruit through our lives? And if it will bring glory to our Christ, may He help us to desire it, even if it hurts.